Welcome to Rights Watch, a program about human rights around the world from Human Rights Watch. I'm Jessie Graham. It's Monday, April 27th. Today we'll look at how President Barack Obama has fared on counterterrorism issues during his first 100 days in office. But first, the torture memos. In recent days, the U.S. government has released a series of memos detailing the legal arguments that the Bush administration used to justify torture. Stacey Sullivan is counterterrorism advisor at Human Rights Watch.
The reading of these documents was really painful reading. One of them is a request by the CIA for permission to use different kinds of interrogation techniques against an al-Qaeda suspect named Abu Zubaydah. One of the most disturbing facts was the CIA asking to exploit one of Abu Zubaydah's fears. He apparently had a fear of insects, and they asked if they could lock him into a small confined box with an insect that he believed would sting him. The CIA said, in fact, they would use a caterpillar, which would be a harmless insect, but they would lock Abu Zubaydah in a box with this insect. They also requested—
And they did that.
They actually never did it, but they did get permission to do it.
So it's less about what they did, although that is shocking and I think tells us a lot, but it's also about how they justified it.
Yeah, and what was so disturbing about the memo, that particular one, was two things. One is the amount of detail that the interrogators or the CIA went into when asking the Office of Legal Counsel for permission. The amount of detail was so explicit that there's no way anybody at the highest levels could say they didn't know what was going on. I mean, they were asking about numbers, how much water. I mean, they talked about how many ounces of water could be used in waterboarding. They talked about the angle that a person would need to be strapped at while the water was poured on his face with the towel over his face. They talked about, they had a procedure called walling, in which they would actually put somebody, they'd put the detainee in a neck brace to make sure that he didn't suffer too much whiplash, and then throw him against a wall. And the wall was made specifically for this technique so that he wouldn't be too hurt by it. The wall was made out of some kind of material that was a little bit flexible so the detainee would bounce back. The level of detail that was in these memos was profoundly disturbing. In addition to that, the memos go into great detail about how these techniques were derived, and they were derived from the SEER program, which was actually, it was what U.S. Special Forces, it was the training U.S. Special Forces would go through in order to be able to steel themselves against interrogations by our enemies. So these were techniques that were used against Special Forces in the event that they would be caught by the Soviets or the Chinese.
And they used techniques that were used by Pol Pot in Cambodia, is that right?
That's correct. Waterboarding is one of those techniques. And without even looking at the fact that, I mean, okay, A, it's very different to undergo waterboarding or walling or any one of these techniques as part of a training program in the U.S. military than it is when you are captured by enemy forces who are doing this to you, because A, you know that you're not going to be hurt because it's your countrymen who are doing this to you. It's a training program. It can stop if things get too out of hand. You know that it has an end. When you're being held by your enemies, you don't know that it has an end. You don't know that you're not going to die. You don't know that it's not temporary. It's a very, very different thing we're talking about here. In these memos, they detailed the SEER program. They said 10,000 U.S. trainees went through the SEER program, and there was no evidence that anyone suffered any permanent psychological damage as a result of these training programs. Therefore, it's okay.
On his second day in office, Obama implemented a ban on torture, but it's not yet clear if anyone will be held accountable for the Bush administration's policies. The president has said he won't prosecute the CIA personnel that carried out the interrogations. He hasn't ruled out investigating or prosecuting those who planned these interrogation programs or provided their legal rationale. Sullivan says the torture memos are building public support for prosecution.
When something like this comes out, like these memos are released, it gives the public a small picture about what happened and therefore underscores the need to have an investigation, a thorough investigation into what happened so that the public can have a full picture of what went on in our name. We at Human Rights Watch have called for not a bipartisan commission, as the president is now saying if any commission should be created, it should be bipartisan. We would like to have a nonpartisan commission so that this investigation can be above reproach, and that so that nobody can say that this was a politicized investigation. We'd like to see a nonpartisan investigation, and then we would like to have that investigation make recommendations for prosecution. And we'd like to see those who are responsible for authorizing torture and providing the legal rationale held accountable. And this is very important not only to combat a culture of impunity, not only because the United States can't allow its top officials to commit torture and get away with it and have any credibility on the world scene when it criticizes anyone else for human rights violations, but because we have to make sure that this can never happen again. It's clear the U.S. is going to be confronted with terrorist threats in the future. And the temptation to authorize the use of torture in the future will be there, just as it was for the Bush administration. If we do not have, if we don't know exactly what was done, how it was done, it's possible that it can happen, that it will be done again. And we now know that torture was A, not very effective, and B, it's wrong. And so we need to figure out exactly what took place, and we need to punish those who allowed it to happen so that it doesn't happen again in the future.
And who do you imagine would be prosecuted?
Well, I think we would have to let the investigation speak for itself. I mean, I wouldn't want to prejudge anyone, but we do now know from press reports and from the release of these memos that people very high up, the top officials in the Bush administration, were consulted on these interrogation techniques and help devise the interrogation programs. And I think that none of these officials should be above the law. So we should find out who knew what, who authorized it, who created it, and then we should have the thorough investigation and then based on that make recommendations to a special prosecutor who would then conduct a criminal investigation to prosecute those responsible for allowing this to happen. Right now, we're looking at the lawyers who provided the legal rationale for the for torture. But if it emerges that top administration officials from the Bush administration were involved in planning this and providing the legal justification, they too should not be immune from prosecution.
Last week, Human Rights Watch issued a report card on President Obama's counterterrorism reforms.
To have issued these executive orders on day two to close Guantanamo, shut down the secret CIA sites, shut down the CIA interrogation program, and forbid the use of enhanced interrogation techniques, hold the CIA to the same standard that we hold the military in interrogating detainees, to have done this on his second day is tremendous. I mean, we could not have been more pleased with Obama taking this decisive action right away so soon after taking office.
But Sullivan says the president still has more work to do. Human Rights Watch has pushed for the U.S. to drop the global war on terror as justification for holding suspects indefinitely.
So as you know, the Bush administration in fighting terrorism declared it a war and basically declared that it could arrest anyone anywhere in the world and detain him or her as an enemy combatant indefinitely. We've asked that the Obama administration reject the global war on terror framework as a rationale for detaining people. We believe that there are basically two ways to detain people. You can capture them on a battlefield, in which case they would be a prisoner of war, or they're criminals and you can charge them in the U.S. criminal justice system and prosecute them. The Obama administration at this time still maintains that it has the right to, say, arrest somebody in Thailand and take them to Bagram in Afghanistan and hold them indefinitely as an enemy combatant.
And the U.S. still hasn't done away with the practice of transferring detainees to countries that are known to commit torture.
On this, the Obama administration is not faring very well. During his confirmation hearings, the new head of the CIA, Leon Panetta, said he would continue to rely on something known as diplomatic assurances. A diplomatic assurance is when a receiving country says, yes, we would like to take this detainee into our custody, but we promise that we will treat him in accordance with international standards and we will not abuse or torture him. The U.S. says, okay, thank you very much for those assurances, and we hand over the detainee to this other country's authority. Once the detainee is out of U.S. hands and in the other country, there is really no way for the United States to enforce diplomatic assurances. This detainee is taken into custody, and that country can do to it, to the detainee, what it will without the knowledge of the U.S. Yes, the U.S. can ask to have access to the detainee, can ask to go into the prison and talk to the detainee, but in practice, this is rarely done. And even if access is granted, there's no way to really tell that the receiving country hasn't been abusing or torturing a detainee. So we at Human Rights Watch do not want any detainees transferred to countries with known records of torture.
That was Stacey Sullivan, counterterrorism advisor at Human Rights Watch. You can read our report card on Obama's first 100 days at hrw.org. We'll hear more from Stacey Sullivan next week when we talk about what's keeping President Obama from closing Guantanamo. We'll also hear a report from Yemen, where many of the remaining detainees are from. That's Rights Watch for this week. Human Rights Watch is an independent organization dedicated to defending and protecting human rights around the world. For more about us, including audio, video, and multimedia features, please visit hrw.org. Thanks for listening to Rights Watch. I'm Jesse Graham.